The sermon passage this morning is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This morning, we are very glad to have Reverend John to share with us God's Word. The sermon title is Pressing Forward to God's Call. Reverend John, please.
Okay, I'm ready. Hope you are. You are as well. Once again, a blessed New Year to my brothers and sisters in Christ. The calendar has turned. A new year has begun. The start of a new year feels like a fresh canvas, right? Ready for new colors, new strokes, and new stories. It is an appropriate time, really, to recalibrate our hearts, realign our priorities, and recommit ourselves to the purposes of God. As Christians, we are called not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We read that in Romans 12, 2. So let this new year be a time of spiritual renewal. Today's passage is inspired by Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, which Brother Timothy read for us just now, where Paul speaks with profound clarity about his journey of faith. He issues an urging call to every believer, encouraging us to live with purpose, focus, and unwavering determination as we journey through life. Paul's perspective reminds us that no matter our past, God calls us forward to something greater. Regardless of what went through in the past in 2024, God calls us to something greater. He has something good in store for us. As we dwell into this passage today, let us open our hearts to the Spirit's leading. Let us be inspired by Paul's example to press on with faith, hope, and determination, knowing that God is with us every step of the way. So let's first commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we come before you humbly. Knowing that, God, you have something good in store for us because you are good. We know that, Lord, you want to transform us to be more and more like our Lord Jesus. With each passing day, Lord, we know this is your will for us. You have given us the life of Christ. And Lord, and the Spirit that indwells us to empower us to live out that life. So Lord, render our ears hearing then, our spiritual eyes open to see the light of truth, and that conviction that comes from your Spirit in our hearts that will evoke a loving, obedient response to you, to do your good will, so that our lives will honor you. So bless our hearing, our time with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we step into this new year, Paul's exhortation shows us how to position or to gear ourselves for the journey ahead. Like, there are three things. Let's look at the first one. To release the past, forgetting what is behind. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. This is Paul's call to us, what he urges us to do, right? One thing I do, forgetting what is behind. The Apostle Paul's life took a 180-degree turn since he encountered the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, as Acts chapter 9 tells us. In this letter of Philippians, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul uses this analogy of a runner in a race to depict the motivation of his spiritual life. Like a dedicated runner, he has a single goal. Just as a runner cannot be successful unless he concentrates on the race, he knows he can't be successful growing in Christ if he turns his head, right? If he shifts his head, you know, to the left or to the right or to look back, he can't be running the race successfully, right? A runner doesn't do that. The runner's aim, rather, is on the next step. He will not look back to past steps, but focus on improving each step in his race until he reaches the goal, right? A runner cannot look back and still focus on the goal ahead. He knows that he must keep his attention on the road in front of him, right? So these two ideas are mutually exclusive, right? Either you can't be running looking back, right? You can only run successfully looking forward. Paul's spiritual life is the same. He declares honestly that he hasn't yet attained spiritual perfection. But there is one thing that he is mindful of, something that he will not give in to, because he knows that it will cause him to stumble if he does that. Right? What he calls us to do, is to forget what is behind, and this is what he tells us today. Right, his fellow runners in the race, forget what is behind. Paul did not specify exactly what he had to forget, but from his writings and context, we can infer several aspects of his past that he likely chose to leave behind, right? So these are four things. First, he chose to leave behind his former life as a Pharisee. Paul had been a Pharisee, zealous for the law and his Jewish heritage. He describes this in Philippians 3, verse 5 to 6, where he lists his credentials, right? Circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, zealous in persecuting the church, faultless in legalistic righteousness. These achievements were once a source of pride for Paul, but he recognized that they were meaningless compared to knowing Christ. In Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8, he writes, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. The second thing he left behind is his persecution of the church. Before his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul was a fierce persecutor of Christians. He approved Stephen's stoning in Acts chapter 7 and sought to destroy the church, Acts chapter 9. Though forgiven, Paul may have needed to let go of the guilt and shame associated with his past actions to move forward in his ministry. He has to let go of the guilt that sprang from his persecution of the church. The third thing he chose to let go is, it appears okay on my computer, right? Yeah. So anyway, just listen. His past successes and failures. Paul's ministry was filled with both victories and hardship. He planted churches, soul saved, but he also suffered imprisonment, beatings, and opposition. To stay focused on his ultimate goal, Paul could not dwell on past accomplishments or struggles. His focus was on the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, which he stated right in chapter 3, right, in verse 14. The last thing, the opinions and expectations of others. As Paul transitioned from being a respected Pharisee to an apostle of Christ, he faced rejection, right, from his former peers and skepticism from the early Christian community. He had to let go of seeking approval from people and focus solely on pleasing God, something really not easy to do. But he did, because he knew what was more important, of value. Paul's examples teaches us to let go of anything that hinders our spiritual growth, whether it is past failures, achievements, guilt, or pride, and focus on pursuing Christ. And he urges us to do likewise, to follow his example, to forget the past. Now, Paul isn't calling us amnesia, right? But for freedom from the power of past failures, sins, or even accomplishment. You know, as long as we have a sound mind, we are able to remember things. Right? Nothing wrong with that. Right? Like I said, Paul isn't calling for amnesia, but he's calling us to be set free from the power of past failures, sins, or even accomplishments. Holding on to the past can weigh us down. Regrets, grudges, or even past victories can keep us from seeing new things that God wants to do in our lives, that God wants to show us or want us to experience. Now, we can become one-dimensional in our thinking, right? Even if we were to hold on to the victories, right, we can be one-dimensional in our thinking. You know, we run the risk of doing that regarding how God shapes us. We may think, oh, that is the only way that God shapes us. Not true, right? Right? Wonderful that we have experienced victories in our lives. But God shapes us also in trials, through trials. Imagine running a race while constantly looking backward. You know, you risk the losing your direction, right, and slowing down, right? Those of us, especially runners, right, you know, right? We all have ran before, right, in school as children, right? We took part in competitions, right? So we know what it is like, you know, to run. We cannot be looking back and running forward, right? We will either lose our direction or we will slow down, right? So similarly, we must leave behind the burdens of yesterday to focus on the promise of today. So dear people of God, I don't know exactly what you went through in 2024, what trials, setbacks, or victories you experienced. God doesn't want you to look back, to be bound by these things. Certainly, give thanks for the victories and lay down your burdens at His feet. Yes, you'll be carrying something forward to 2025. It doesn't disappear when you turn the calendar. But it need not be, you need not be enslaved by these things. Lay your burdens down at your feet, especially if you are living in sin. Indulging in something that you know the Lord is not pleased with, that it damages your spiritual life. That casts, you know, that puts a wedge in your relationship with God, that seeks to separate you from God, to draw you away from receiving His blessing. If that is what is happening, God invites you, God calls you to repent. So that when you do that, God's amazing grace can take away your guilt and shame. Christ has already paid the price for your sins and set you free from bondage. So release that bitterness, grudges, unforgiveness. Release it to the Lord. Your sinful habits, look to God afresh. As you heard me say, I think last Sunday, or a few Sundays ago, that God did the unthinkable thing. The second unthinkable thing, unimaginable, the astounding thing that God did was to put His Spirit in us. God gave us a new life to live. He took away the obstacle that is our sin, right? In order for us to live that new life. We cannot remove that sin from on our own. God knows that. That's why Jesus had to come. But that is not the primary reason. The primary reason for us, God wants of us, is to live that new life in Christ, so that we can, so that others can see Jesus in us, so others can experience the love of God that exudes from us, and that we live differently. The new life, to be more like Jesus. Is it a joy to do that? To live that way? To be like Jesus? I believe that you would agree with me. Right? Those who agree, please say amen. 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 Amen to that, right? Right. So, we can live the new life. We can, not on our own, but through God's empowering, because the Spirit of God lives in us. Yes, it doesn't happen instantly. We struggle. We have habitual sin. But the thing is that you need not continue to live that way. The flesh wants you to live that way. But the Spirit in us is always pulling us, drawing us, not to go that direction. That's why we are commanded to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It is possible. Christ, through His resurrection, has made it possible, not only giving us the new life to live, but empowering us to live that new life. You may think that, oh, you know, Pastor, I've been struggling for so long. I've tried. But it doesn't work. Well, I know I resonate with that, if you are saying that. But you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that deep down inside me, I don't want Jesus. That deep down inside me, in the dark closet, I like to do that. The things of the flesh. So, we can start anew. God will not give up on us. We can. If you do not have a willing heart, ask God for one. Ask God to search your heart and be honest with yourself. Those who did the Discipleship Essentials, that is one chapter called Replacement Theology, if you remember that. And in the Gospel, it is mentioned that incident where, you know, the demon was cast out. And then there was nothing to replace that is of God. Right? It's empty. What happened next? Do you remember that incident? More demons came in. Right? If you want to give up a sinful habit, you need to replace it with something spiritual. Is it profound? No. Is that straightforward? So what are you going to replace it with? Not something worldly. Right? Something that delights the heart of God. So ultimately, where is your heart? Where? Is it orientated towards God or orientated towards the world? Okay, I need to go come back to my script. Our past do not define us. We certainly can learn from the past, but we are not enslaved. We are not to be enslaved by the things that we have done. What matters is the transformation God is working in us as we yield ourselves, as we surrender ourselves to God and press on to our heavenly calling, toward our heavenly calling. And this brings me to the second point. We need to refocus, right? Refocus on the present journey, straining forward what is ahead, as Paul says. I press on toward the goal. Paul urges us to fix our eyes on the path God has set before us and live with intentionality and diligence. He paints a vivid picture of a runner giving his all, right? Straining every muscle to reach the finish line. Now, what does it take to strain forward? We all know, right? Our journey of faith, this race, we are not running a sprint, we are running a marathon. Right? So what does it take to strain forward? It involves intentional effort and perseverance. Athletes endure rigorous training and sacrifice to prepare for competition. Right? Paul puts it in this way in 1 Corinthians 9, right? Just now I mentioned that he also used the runner's analogy in 1 Corinthians 9. So let's look at what he says here. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Purpose. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose. Okay. So I run with purpose. In every step, I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So we can see Paul's attitude towards achieving his spiritual goal very clearly here. He is serious about it. He puts in effort. He is fully focused. He exercises self-control and is persistent in doing the things that renders him to be more mature spiritually. Now, okay, just now you saw a bit, but now you can look at it. Now, what, you know, so what if I tell you, I want to have this body, like that, six packs, and but I can only go to the gym, to work out only when I'm free, that I'm not following any program, or neither am I taking any muscle enhancing or muscle building supplements. No, what if I tell you that, hey, I want to be like that, but yeah, I can only do it as and when, I guess you would tell me two things. One, Pastor, you can dream about it. Right. It's easier that way. Or better still, right? I can buy you this. You can put it on, no pain, no sweat, right? And look like that. We know it doesn't work when there's no effort, no intentionality, no diligence. So what is your attitude towards achieving your spiritual goal in life? Are you committed to winning the prize? Are you attracted by the price? Would you agree with me when I say our priorities in life would reveal our level of commitment? Do you agree with that, with this statement? Our priorities in life would reveal our level of commitment. Prayer, fellowship, worship, Bible study, and service, both personal and corporate levels, where do they rank in your list of priorities? Right? Priority list, where do these things rank in your list? On 30th December, Brother Clary posted this on his Facebook. Those who are his friends on Facebook would have seen this. Completing a Bible in a year plan was one of my goals for 2024. And I'm so grateful to have made it through. Some days were easier than others, but the journey was full of lessons and blessings. If this is something you have been considering, just do it. And by the way, Clary later shared with me that a few of his friends, after seeing this posting, asked him, got interested and asked him about the Bible Reading Plan app. So if you're interested, later go and ask him, okay? Ruth, Yongqing, Deborah, and Joshua availed themselves to lead a cell group starting this year, despite being involved in other areas of service and holding a full-time job. Brother Justin Leong, through the encouragement of another brother, stepped forward to serve as a children's Sunday school teacher this year. Joining him is Sister Candice and Sister Li Wei. All of them are parents of young children and hold other responsibilities. We don't grow spiritually by doing nothing. We can't. It doesn't work. We are deceiving ourselves. When the affairs of God's kingdom are of little interest, when we are not drawn to the prize that God wants to give us, or our engagement in spiritual things done only when it is convenient, if this is our attitude, don't expect to progress much. But then, you know, it's to ask, and then it, does it matter if I progress or not spiritually? You know, I'm saved. If that is what you are thinking, you are in serious trouble. Like I said earlier on, God forgives our sins, He saves us so that He can give us a new life to live for His glory. It is together, that is the package. One side of the coin is forgiveness of our sins, past, present, future. The other side is the new life. The Christian faith isn't passive. It requires action and discipline. There are no shortcuts, no easy way to achieve deeper intimacy with Christ. It is about, it's not about how fast. It is about whether you are faithful, whether you are progressing, whether you are moving forward. One, release the past, forgetting what is behind. Two, refocus on the present journey, straining toward what is ahead. And three, to gear up for the journey ahead is to reach for the eternal prize. Live each day in the light of eternity. To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul has a clear goal. Being in heaven with the Lord, he looks forward to the ultimate reward of his faithful service. The prize is to be with Christ and have the joy of fellowship with him forever. The goal, of course, we know, it is not earned but received by faith through God's grace. And this amazing grace has rendered Paul to seek to know Christ all the days of his life until he meets him face to face. Paul says it very clearly in 3 verses earlier. I want to know Christ. I want to be intimate with Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So, dear people of God, have you ever asked yourself this question? What is my spiritual goal as a born-again Christian? Well, you can ask this question and think about it and reflect on it as you begin 2025. What is my spiritual goal as a born-again Christian? Now, what do you think of Paul's goal, right? Very simple. I want to know Christ, right? Yes, he says that, yeah, I have not attained that yet, you know, fully like Jesus, right? But he knows the direction. He's fixated on that, in going that way. So what do you think of Paul's goal? Well, it is certainly too lofty for me. It is for the spiritual fanatics and the elites, not for an ordinary believer like me. Now, if this is what you are thinking, you really do not know what you are missing. God's will is for every believer to be transformed, to be like His Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. God has stated it very clearly, right? Every believer, every person that He saves, He forgives, and given a new life, He has one goal. God wants to transform us to be like Jesus. It is not for a certain group of believers. Now, it's good to bear in mind, the price that Paul talks about here is not an earthly or temporal one, right? Right? The price is priceless and everlasting. No matter how great a career you have, no matter how big a house you live in, no matter what kind of cars that you drive, or how big is your bank account, you can never bring any of these things into the grave. You can't. But if your focus is that, oh, you know, I have only one life to live, you know, when I die, that's it, you know. So I should be enjoying life and what life has to offer me, what I'm able to do, right? With my education, with my talent, with my intelligence, you know, what I can gain. And a lot of people are doing that, isn't it? Right? If you are like that, then you are no different from the unsaved, the unregenerate. So, what are your values? What are your goals? What are the things that interest you? That, you know, that captivates you, draw you to devote yourself. Yes, we are still in this world. We got to work. We got to eat. We got to move around. Nothing wrong with that. We are in this system. But we know that even though we are in the world, we are called not to be of the world. Okay. Picture an award ceremony where a runner receives a gold medal. That moment of triumph reflects the culmination of their dedication. And in a spiritual sense, this is the same. For believers, the ultimate reward is hearing the words of our Master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your Master's joy. In conclusion, Paul's words remind us that life is a journey, and the call of God requires us to keep moving forward. We cannot afford to be paralyzed by the past. You have a choice to make, whether you want to continue to dwell in those circumstances, you want to be embittered by all the negative things, you know, you can make a choice. But today, God's call is to not to look back. He doesn't want us to be paralyzed or enslaved by the past. Rather, we should not be distracted by the present or be complacent about the future. Distracted by what this world has to offer us. Things are getting better, or in the sense that it is more attractive. We have AI, we have things that are, you know, going to be more interesting, right? The Sing dollar is strong. You know, we can we can leverage on that, you know, to go places and enjoy. Yeah. So don't be distracted or complacent about the future. Paul's teaching was to, you know, call us not to dwell in or look back to at the past, but instead to focus on what we can do today and in the days ahead to know Christ, that is, to live for Him until we meet Him. We cannot change what has happened or go back in time to relive our lives, but what we can do is to strain forward, keeping our eyes on the eternal prize. That is what we can do. Resist distractions and stay focused on what truly matters, our relationship with Christ and our eternal destiny. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us release the past, refocus on the present, and reach for the prize as we begin our journey in 2025. If you choose to remain the same, you won't have a new year. All you have is another year. May this year be a year of breakthrough blessings, and deep intimacy with our Lord. Let us walk together as a family of believers, encouraging one another, building each other up in the faith, united in purpose with one heart and mind, holding fast to God's unchanging promises. The Lord bless you.